الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درشي بلّي. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, one of the most important events in the annals of Islamic history is the event of Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Anyone who studies the biography, the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will most definitely find out that Sulh Hudaybiyah was one of the most important events in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an was pivotal, a man who played the most important character. And all of the Muslim historians who have written books on the subject of Khulafai Rashideen, they have always written this very important document with regards to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah in virtue of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. In the last session, alhamdulillah, we completed some of the family aspects of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, and inshallah for the brief session that we have tonight, we will cover some of the very important issues when this treaty had taken place in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hudaybiyah is actually the name of a place just outside Makkatul Mukarramah. It's a plain. In fact, nowadays it's named as Shumaisi. When you head towards Jeddah, it's just on the outskirts of the Haram boundary. So if you're going towards Jeddah, you do pass Shumaisi, and that is the very location where this Treaty of Hudaybiyah had taken place. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara had seen a dream. In his dream, he saw that he has put on his ihram, and with his companions playing the talbiyah, entered the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, performed the tawaf, did their sa'i, and then shaved their heads, took off the ihram. And in one narration, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam even saw that the keys of Kaaba fell into the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the dream mentioned in the books of a hadith. It was always the habit of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if he saw a dream, he would narrate it to the companions. Now when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this dream, companions, all of a sudden, mashallah, it rekindled and sparked their love to return back into the city of Makkah. After being in exile for such a long period of time, for Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see in his dream Makkah, this was good news. And they knew that the dream of a Nabi is not mere fiction, but rather an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without taking permission from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking that this is divine inspiration, all of the companions started preparing for this journey. So now in Madinatul Munawwara, people are talking, inshallah, soon we are going to Makkah, soon we are going to Makkah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not informed of a specific date or time, and nor did he mention that to the companions. But this preparation, a team, a group of people showed their readiness to go. Let's go to Makkah, we are all going to Makkah, mashallah. This was the buzz in Madinatul Munawwara. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rahim, very merciful. When he saw this great level of enthusiasm in the hearts of the companions, that prompted him that perhaps maybe this is the time also to fulfill their desire and wish, let us go. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not restricted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasn't given him a time, but who knows? Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een are ready, so let us all be ready. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made his intentions very clear. In this safar, he took with him from amongst his wives, Hazrat Umme Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, a group of companions from amongst the Muhajireen and the Ansar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ghusl, put on his new clothes, took his ihram, mashallah. Ulama have mentioned that approximately 1,400 companions were ready to come and join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great Nabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always made preparation, making sure that everything goes well for the Muslims. On one side, Mushrikeen Makkah have now heard the news that 1,400 Muslims are about to leave. So what do? Mushrikeen Makkah decide that the greatest power and strength is with Khalid bin Walid, who was not a Muslim at that time. Immediately, a cavalry regiment is prepared under the leadership of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, who was not a Muslim at that time, radiallahu ta'ala an. And they said to him that you have to make sure that the Muslims can't enter the haram. And so he took a group of people with the weapons and he went to a location just towards Hudaybiyah in a place called Khural Ghamim, waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this man was very courageous, very, very strong, a military man all his life. He is the one who did damage in all the battles. The battle of Uhud, it was Khalid bin Walid, if you recall. And now even when the Muslims have decided to perform Umrah, a peaceful mission, but again, as Khalid bin Walid said to the Mushrikeen, Abu Sufyan, everybody, don't worry, they will not enter Makkah, I am there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara had sent a Sahabi whose name was Bishr radiallahu ta'ala. Now these were individuals that were considered to be unidentifiable individuals. And so they would mix in a community, blend into a community. It would be very hard for any man to even notice them, that who this person is, yet they are sitting with you. And so they were selected people even with the Muslims. So the Bishr was one of that character, nobody knew him, just a quiet man. His job was to go into Makkah quietly, and that art and skill was with them very fast. They would enter Makkatul Mukarramah quickly, all alone he would enter Makkah and verify the activities that were taking place in Makkatul Mukarramah to see what they have prepared, and immediately he would return back to Madinatul Munawwara. So this was a very secret, private informer of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi said, go and see what the people of Makkah have decided. He came back from Makkah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, bad news. Allah's Nabi said, what bad news? He said, it seems that they are prepared for a full-scale war with the Muslims. Full-scale war, they're all prepared. Muslims come, when the Muslimin come, we will fight them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made afsos. And there was a lot of regret. Allah's Nabi said that the Qurayshi people have destroyed themselves in fighting, weakened their strength, but yet they continuously want to fight. What was difficult for them, in the seerah books it comes that Allah's Nabi said, if they allowed the Muslims to come and perform Umrah, and then after that the Muslims would have left, what was difficult for them? So he made a lot of afsos, regretting what the people of Makkah were intending to do. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again a meeting was convened with the companions, shura, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is your opinion? Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een said, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you say we will do. Hazrat Miqdad stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, remember, we are not like Banu Israel. When they said to Musa alayhi salam, Izhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun. You, O Musa, go and fight, we are waiting. Once you have conquered the city, call us, we will come. So we are not like Banu Israel. We are with you all the way, whatever you decide. We will never abandon you. And so if you decide, Allah's Nabi said, do you want to make a forceful entry into Makkah that we fight, or do you want to wait and make a peaceful entry, but if they stop us, we fight? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, a senior sahabi, gave his opinion. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you have seen a dream. In your dream, it's all about Umrah, that we have entered peacefully. And so this should be a peaceful mission. We won't fight, but if they stop us, we will fight. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. But with that, sahaba-i kiram ajma'een took with them no weapons, except for swords. And swords was something that was common. Every man would have a sword with him at that time. So sheathed swords were there, but no additional weapons were taken. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, gave permission. Now slowly, 1400 of the companions depart from Madinatul Munawwara, make their way to Makkatul Mukarrama. Allahu Akbar, as they get close to Makkatul Mukarrama, right in front is who? Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an. And I say radiyallahu ta'ala an, he's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not to forget, at that time he was not a Muslim. So from a distance, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a cavalry regiment waiting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had aligned all of the cavalry in such a way that it would be difficult for anyone to enter the city of Makkah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, and in the meanwhile it was time for Zuhur Salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that the kuffar are there, and he knew that they will not allow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the imam in Hudaybiyah, and he performs his Zuhur Salah. Khalid bin Walid is watching what the Muslims are doing. And when the Salah was completed, Khalid bin Walid said to all of the mushrikeen that were there, that we have missed a golden opportunity. That we have missed a golden opportunity. And they said, what? He says, we should have wiped out all the Muslims whilst they were performing Salah. The best thing for us was that we should have wiped out the Muslims, all of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst they were performing Salah. And all of them were performing Salah. So we missed that opportunity. What an opportunity at hand, and we missed it. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was making afsos. Oh, kya hua? But then he said, never mind. The Muslims pray five times a day. 5 times a day. We always give an opportunity. Kamzor log hai na. So he said, never mind. If they have read Zuhur, they will in a few hours now read another prayer, Asr. That's the time we attack them and finish them off completely, and then come return back home with victory. Subhanallah, this was what was decided by Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. In Hudaybiyah, Jibreel Amin descends with a ruling, an injunction of Salatul Khawf, a special method of praying Salah, which in fiqh is known as Salatul Khawf. A Salah that you must perform in difficult moments, in jihad especially. And that method, manner, was explained to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is what the mushrikeen have already decided, that when you are going to perform Salah, they want to attack you. So when Allah's Nabi is the Imam, half of you perform Salah behind him and half of you are to monitor and secure and guard the Muslims. And so to stand in front of them so they know that you are ready for them. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands for the second rakat, the people who had prayed the first rakat will go and guard, and the people who haven't started, they will come back and perform the last rakat with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is in the case when you are praying behind one imam. And because praying behind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something very special, that is why this salah was taught to the companions. So one rakat was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one rakat they would complete individually in that manner. So this was the tartib. There are a lot of masails attached to this. But this Salatul Khawf method was taught to the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een. And when it came for Asr Salah, they performed Asr in this tartib, and for the rest of the Salat, this was the method that they applied in performing the Salah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an looked, and he said to the cavalry that was there, that it's going to be difficult for us to attack 1400 companions, and as it is, the Muslims have not decided to enter Makkatul Mukarramah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had traveled on his very famous she camel Taswa, and the forelegs of that camel in that safar, whilst Allah's Nabi was in that region of Hudaybiyah, the camel slipped and fell to the ground, and Qaswa just sat down. Qaswa was not standing up. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Qaswa, that is the name of the camel, and some of the companions said to Qaswa, Qaswa, stand up. This is a very famous camel. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often sit on the she camel and travel. And even during this Hudaybiyah, Qaswa was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was not standing up, the camel. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said that this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the people of Abraha from entering into Kaaba, this is also a sign, and I know Qaswa. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of a sudden said to the companions that whatever the mushrikeen put in front of me today, any of their conditions, I will accept it. After saying this, he said to Qaswa, Qaswa, now stand. And so Qaswa stood up. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Allah's Nabi decided was not to be close to the mushrikeen and the cavalry that was there, whose leader was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, but decided the better option was to camp in a complete opposite direction in Hudaybiyah. So that is where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. But that location was without a doubt a disadvantage for the Muslims. The best location was taken by the mushrikeen, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, where you had water and it was even close to the city. But for the Muslims, it was a barren land, no water, except for a well that was there. Ulama have mentioned again, 1400 of the companions had witnessed this mu'jiza, a miracle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that water is a necessity, water will be very important for salah and also for drinking. There was a well there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a bit of water and rinsed his mouth, and that water which had entered the blessed mouth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah's Nabi spat that water into that well, and he took one arrow and pitched it also in that well. All of a sudden, immediately, subhanallah, water started bubbling up. So much water that it nearly got to the top of the well, the brim, completely on the top. And mashallah, there was water, and this was witnessed by all of the companions. And they started drinking water, mashallah, so there was water enough for the Muslimin. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had camped there. The kuffar were at a distance, but at the opposite direction. Now a lot of individuals from Makkatul Mukarramah decided to come and visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Envoys were sent from the mushrikeen of Makkah. One of them was also a man whose name was Urwa bin Mas'ud. Something that Urwa ibn Mas'ud had noticed that others didn't notice, and it is well worth mentioning here. Urwa ibn Mas'ud was from the Kuffar, living in Makkatul Mukarramah. He came to visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to ask him why the Muslims are here. And he stayed in the Muslim camp, observing and looking at the Muslims. And what he noted, and what he also mentioned to the leaders of the Quraysh when he returned back, he said that I have met all the kings, Caesar, Kisra, Negus. I've been to everyone, but wallahi, there is no king like this king who the companions respect and love and adore. Muhammad is an incredible king sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he gave an example. He said, what I have seen is that when their Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is doing wudu, ablution, the water that touches the body parts of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam never touch the ground. People are there to receive and collect that water, and then they rub that water to their bodies and to their face. This is how much love they have for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he warned the mushrikeen that don't think that the people who are with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ever abandon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So think very carefully. 1400 against all of the people of Makkah, but you have to make a wise decision. And so this was the information that was given by Urwa ibn Mas'ud. What I have seen is that they have a lot of adab for this man, Muhammad bin Abdullah, and a lot of love. Whatever he says, they will do. Whatever he says. So whatever decision you do, you have to be very, very careful. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also made an intention to send someone to visit the people of Makkah. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's first option was who? Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. That Umar, you go. As Umar ibn al-Khattab was a well-wisher for the Muslims and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know of my condition. When they see me, the hate they have for Umar ibn al-Khattab because of how he was, his, again, this implacable hate for the kuffar. He disliked the kuffar, and he said that they won't be prepared even to look at me or even to talk to me. They won't negotiate anything with me. If you want, I will go. But I think the best option is to send someone who has got family links, family ties in Makkah. So there is protection for that person who goes there. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that what Umar is saying is right. And he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab, you remain here behind. And Hazrat Umar then gave his opinion. He said, the best man, the best negotiator right now in the Muslim camp would be Uthman bin Affan. Allahu Akbar. What a man. Uthman bin Affan, a leader, a man who had a lot of wealth, and a lot of his family, Banu Sa'id, is still in Makkah. Although they haven't embraced Islam, but Uthman bin Affan is from that tribe. So there is a lot of safety, and there is a possibility that a lot of them even might embrace Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Uthman, Uthman, are you prepared? Hazrat Uthman said, Labbaik wa Sa'daik. Whatever you say, Ya Rasulullah, I am prepared. And this great mission was given to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Now imagine, my respected brothers, the status of Uthman bin Affan, that he is the Khalifa, rather a person who is representing and a spokesman for who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A great distinction for this man, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, without a sword, entered the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. As he entered, there were people that came and they tried pushing Hazrat Uthman, and they said, what do you want? What do you want? And then when the Banu Sa'ad saw that Uthman bin Affan is entering, immediately one of them said that, I give protection to Uthman bin Affan. And this was of great value within the Arabs and the Qurayshi people. If somebody was to say that, right, the Aman amnesty, the Aman comes from me, I am the one who is giving him protection, that was it. That was something that had to be respected. So Hazrat Uthman bin Affan had a lot of family ties in Makkatul Mukarramah, and he entered and he met up with everyone as instructions given to him by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that what you have to do is meet the Muslims who were trapped in Makkah and give them the salam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who were financially and socially disabled or difficult for them to make hijrah, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala met them and gave them the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and said to them, make sabr, persevere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an opening for you. Insha'Allah, this difficulty is for a short while, so make a lot of sabr. He stayed in Makkatul Mukarramah for 3 days. The leaders took Hazrat Uthman bin Affan in front of the Kaaba. Uthman bin Affan is in his ihram, without a sword, in his ihram. And they said to Uthman bin Affan that, look, the Kaaba is in front of you. We know you. We give you the permission to do tawaf of the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. The love that he had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to the leaders that, you give me permission to do tawaf of the Kaaba and you deny and deprive the Muslims and especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I will never do tawaf of the Kaaba until you give permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he met up with a lot of people there and also gave them da'wat to Islam. This was in the 3 days. Now, whilst Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an was in Makkatul Mukarramah, a group of 50 youth from the Qurayshi decided that they will go and attack the Muslims with this intention, al-iyazu billah, to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, Hazrat Uthman is there, the spokesman for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, someone who's representing the Muslims. And on one side you have 50 young Qurayshi people who are prepared to go and attack the Muslims and join the camp of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, and at an opportunity given, aliyazu billah, to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's bodyguard at that time was Muhammad ibn Maslama. Now, generally, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have a bodyguard. But at that time, there were companions who always wanted to stay close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Muhammad bin Maslama decided that in Sulh Hudaybiyah, I will be the one who will be serving Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and will be very close to him. So Muhammad bin Maslama noticed that a group of people from the Quraysh have come, and he had set a trap, an ambush for all of them. And subhanallah, it is said that he captured all 50 of them. All 50 of them were caught. They fell into that trap, and Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama got hold of every single one of them. All 50 were taken as prisoners in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when this news was given to the people in Makkah, the Qurayshi leaders, that 50 have been captured, in retaliation what they did is they detained Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala. So 50 were taken from the Muslims, and in return what they did is that they took Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. And it is even said that with Uthman bin Affan, there another 10 from a group of companions had entered Makkah from different locations of the city of Makkah. So you still had another group of Muslims that were inside Makkatul Mukarramah. But they got hold of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan and they said that we will not allow you until those 50 are released. In the meanwhile also, the Kuffar had spread this rumor that Uthman bin Affan has been assassinated. Allahu Akbar. When this news was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was devastated. And he said, they have assassinated Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, whilst the 50 are still alive here. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called all of the companions, all of the companions that were there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on this special tree that was there in Hudaybiyah, and all of the companions came, sat in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hands in front of them and he said, I want all of you to take a pledge, an oath, a pledge of allegiance on my hand, the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will fight until your last breath if they have assassinated Uthman bin Affan. Imagine the love that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Uthman bin Affan, that he is prepared to sacrifice himself and all of the companions for who? For one Sahabi, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this pledge of allegiance that was taken is mentioned in Surah Al-Fatah. In fact, all of Surah Al-Fatah in the 26th para speaks about Sulh Hudaybiyah. So all of the companions that had put their hands to the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has praised them. Allah says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is pleased with the believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ. Those who had taken a pledge, the pledge of allegiance, that they will fight, they will wage jihad against the kuffar until death. Tahta shajara. Whilst Allah's Nabi was reclining towards a tree that was there. Fa'alima ma fi kulubihim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the sincerity of the companions. Allah knows of their condition. Allah knows what was in their hearts. They were sincere people. And every single sahabi gave an oath, qasam, and pledged at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will fight until death. Now here, ulama have mentioned, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. And he said, if my Uthman was here, he would not hesitate. He would also give me his oath and pledge until death. And because Uthman is not here, I want all of you to be a witness that the hands of Muhammad Mustafa are the hands of Uthman bin Affan. Allahu Akbar. Now imagine the love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Uthman bin Affan. He is the representative for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This pledge is in retaliation, in revenge. If the kuffar had assassinated Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, all were prepared to fight. And Allah's Nabi's right hand is now the hand of Uthman bin Affan. And he's saying, this is the hand of Uthman, and I'm placing his hand on my hand, that this is the bay'ah of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, that we will fight until the death. Now when the kuffar had seen this power, strength, and this fiery mood of the Muslims, Allahu Akbar, now it was a complete different mood in the Muslim camp, prepared even with their swords. Allahu Akbar, they were about to fight, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled now fear in the hearts of the mushrikeen. And all of them now started coming to visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the man who came, the main man whose name was Suhail, he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an is alive, this is a false rumor. So if you want to fight, we are prepared, but a better option is that we don't fight. They did not want to fight anyway. But a better option is that we don't fight. And Suhail is the man who had, he's the man who struck up a deal, a treaty with the Muslims, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also agreed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali that this treaty must be written. This is what also the mushrikeen wanted and what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also wanted. So he called Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said to Ali, Ali, write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now we have to be very, very careful that in wedding cards and at times people even throw away magazines that have the name of Allah, Rahman, Rahim, and verses of the Quran. We have to be very, very careful. But this was a treaty that the Muslims were to keep. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Suhail said that, who is Rahman and who is Rahim? The word Rahman and Rahim are not words that are common to us, not in the idiom of the Qurayshi language. So we don't want Rahman, Rahim. These are not the names that we want in the treaty that will be written. So we want the name that is common to you and to us. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, okay, erase the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and write Bismikallahumma. Write Bismikallahumma. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now write that this is a treaty. Allah's Nabi was dictating, this is a treaty that Muhammad Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making. Muhammad Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah's Nabi had taken this attributive title of Rasulullah, again Suhail objected. And he said, the reason we are here writing this treaty is because we don't accept you as a Rasul. So why should you say Rasulullah? Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said to Hazrat Ali, Ali, theek. Write Muhammad bin Abdullah and delete, erase Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, the love they had, Ya Rasulullah, this is not what I can do. I am not going to erase the word Rasulullah. Now in one narration it comes, this is the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was an ummi, unlettered, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote in the document his name Muhammad bin Abdullah, and the entire treaty was written by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though he was an ummi, this is the miracle and mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And it was in a way from the outset all against the Muslims. And what was in the treaty was that this year the Muslims won't be allowed to enter Makkah, they have to return back come next year, and they will be given entry for 3 days visa. How many days? For 3 days. The Saudi give you visa now for 15, or is it 1 month? 1 month, mashallah. So 3 days visa was given to the Muslims, that they have to come without weapons. And this was in the treaty. Subhanallah al-Azim, this was very, very difficult for the Muslims. Everything was against the Muslim. Everything was against the Muslim. Now some of the companions came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, but the dream that you had seen, that we will enter, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dream that I had seen, but did Allah specify for you that it has to be this year? that you have to enter the haram now and you have to do umrah now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned that. And some of the verses were revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confirming that the dream is the truth and it will materialize, but this was not the right time. And so verses were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you open up Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read these verses in front of the companions. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. The dream that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen, that is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. Allah is saying, and these are the words of taqeed, that most definitely the Muslims will enter Masjid al-Haram in peace, inshaAllah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, ulama have mentioned that how important it is to say inshaAllah. That even Allah has mentioned here that لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ inshaAllahu آمِنِينَ. Subhanallah al-Azim. And these verses were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them had their ihram on. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have your sacrificial animals, slaughter them, shave your heads and take off your ihram. But this was something very difficult for the companions. And they sat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the room where he was camped and he spoke to Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Again, how important it is for a woman also to understand the issues that relate to the husband. And all of the wives that were selected for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were incredible women. Recently, I had a friend of mine who came to visit me, and just for the benefit for the mothers and sisters listening at home, and he said to me, Maulana Sahab, I have made nikah and I am so happy. I said, MashaAllah. I said, do you know that one of the signs of a person who is very muttaqi is a man who has this passionate love for his wife. You see, we have this habit of saying, Ato bairino gulam che. Ato bairino gulam che. He's under the thumb. That is not the case. Not bairino gulam. Maybe this man really loves the wife. And he'd rather love someone who is his legal partner than to love someone who is not jaiz, not legal for that individual. And so all of the mothers of this ummah, when you study, subhanallah al-azim. So this man said that, Maulana Sahab, alhamdulillah, the best thing of this lady is that she is a woman who understands me and she gives me a lot of comfort. A lot of comfort. When I come at home, she makes life easy for me. She'll give everything for me. If I have pain in the head, she won't sleep, she will press this and that. And this attitude of serving the husband, subhanallah. But today when you speak about serving the husband, women, because they are brainwashed living in this country, Mushtaq, put your hands down, please. Mushtaq, here goes Maulana Sahab, what are you speaking about? Mushtaq, I'm doing you a favor. So all of these women are brainwashed living in this country, Allahu Akbar, and they speak about their rights and they have this attitude about being very, very independent. Oh, if I serve my husband and then, you know, somehow I am not to the level of the husband. And all of these, Allahu Akbar, un-Islamic attitudes that have developed in this country living, this is all against the Sharia. All against the Sharia. Subhanallah. Women. And imagine, Umm Salama understood Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came and he said, I've told the companions to take out the ihram, shave the heads. But this was difficult for the companions at that moment. It was not that they went against Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all. But they were hoping that maybe divine revelation, wahi might come and they might, Allah might decide something else for the Muslimin. And so they were waiting. And so she explained to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama have mentioned she came close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And apt advice given, she said, Ya Rasulallah, the companions love you. The companions love you and we love you. But at this moment, It's very difficult for them. They have a lot of pain in their hearts. A lot of pain. And I think the best thing, what to do now would be, you go out and call the barber and tell him to shave your hair first, and then I guarantee you that the rest will follow. What mashwara given by Ummah Salama. This is a woman giving mashwara, advice, subhanallah, of an event that is mentioned in one entire surah. Suratul Fatha is all about the events of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Everything is about Hudaybiyah. And she is saying that if you shave your head, the rest will follow. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got so happy and said, Umm Salama, what good advice you give me. And he came out and he called the barber, and the barber came, and Allah's Nabi sat and he said, right, shave my head. And he started shaving. Subhanallah, when the companions saw that Allah's Nabi is now taking off the ihram, everybody came, they started shaving, ihram was taken off. And mashallah, as they returned back to Makkatul Mukarrama, the entire surah of Suratul Fatha was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, confirming that Sulh Hudaybiyah, this treaty, though from the outset may be something that is understood as being disadvantage for the Muslims, but in fact this is paving the path for the conquest of Makkatul Mukarrama. And Allah has described the Treaty of Hudaybiyah as manifest victory. Fatham Mubina, manifest victory. Fatham Mubina, subhanallah. And it is said that the barakat of this treaty was that all of the mushrikeen in Makkatul Mukarrama were now divided, and divisions were made, and slowly they started coming and visiting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara. Many of them embraced Islam, Abu Sufyan, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, and eventually Khaybar was also conquered immediately after Sulh Hudaybiyah. And in 21 months after the treaty was written, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered peacefully Makkatul Mukarrama with 10,000 companions, and the entire city was taken by the Muslims. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the beautiful seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was mentioned again just to refresh our memories that we are covering the biography of Uthman bin Affan. And Uthman bin Affan was one of the most important character in this treaty of Hudaybiyah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Ya Allah, ya Kareem, ya Rahim. Ya Allah, ye jo naujawan is majlis mein baithe hue hain, Allah hum sab se ya Allah tu razi ho ja. Allah hum sab se tu razi ho ja. Allah teri raza ke liye baithe hue hai aur koi bhi maqsad nahi hai. Allah tu hame mukhlisin mein se bana de, abidin mein se bana de, amilin mein se bana de, ya Allah alimin mein se bana de. Allah hame muttaqi bana de, Allah hame muttaqi bana de, taqwa ki daulat de. Allah jiski jo pareshani ho, Allah us pareshani ko dur farma. Jiski jaisi bhi pareshani ho, Allah us pareshani ko dur farma. Jo bimar hai unko shifa de, Allah jo bimar hai unko shifa de. Ya Allah jo duniya se rukhsat ho gayi, Allah unki qabron ko munawwar farma. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.